10th play of the Chiefs drive. His first and 10 after the penalty at the Raven 19 near hash. Mahomes to throw against a four-man rush. Fires it near side to Kelce. Comes back to the ball and hauls it in. Touchdown, Kansas City. Patrick Mahomes absolutely took duct tape and just wrapped the ball around the waist of Travis Kelce for a 19-yard touchdown. Second down, goal to go for the Chiefs. The football between the two and the three. Hands on his knees is Pacheco. He'll get it again behind left guard. Triangle out, pushing. Touchdown, Kansas City. The Ravens defense has only averaged giving up 16 points a game this year. The Chiefs have 14 if they get the PAT in their first two drives. It'll be a 52-yard attempt for Harrison Butker from the near hash. 14-7, Kansas City. 8 seconds left to go in the second quarter. Placement is down. Butker's kick is up. The spinning kick, and it is good from 52. The Chiefs lead by two possessions, and Harrison Butker has now tied Adam Vinatieri for the most 50-plus yard field goals in National Football League history with a gigantic 52-yard field goal to lead 17-7. Back to throw is Lamar Jackson. Over the middle, caught by Zay Flowers and lunges for the end zone. They're going to say the ball's out. They're going to say the ball is out in the end zone. The Chiefs think they have the ball in the end zone. No official has been given yet. They're going to say a touchback. The Chiefs recover the ball in the end zone. Zay Flowers caught the ball and fumbles the ball into the end zone.
The runner fumbles short of the goal line. Recovered in the end zone by
Kansas City has a touchback. Zay Flowers hit short of the end zone and fumbles the ball. Jackson, quick snap again. Chiefs trying to push the pocket. Jackson throws deep middle for the end zone. Intercepted. Intercepted in the end zone. Intercepted by Deion Bush. Back-to-back turnovers in the end zone by the Baltimore Ravens. Deion Bush with the interception. The old Wiley special teams dude gets a pick, and Jackson makes a mistake, throwing into the teeth of the Chiefs coverage. A flip by Richie James Jr. That means this game is over, and you can doubt the Chiefs. You can dislike the Chiefs. You can disrespect the Chiefs. You're going to have to deal with the Chiefs being the AFC champions for the fourth time in 5 seasons. The Chiefs have the Lamar Hunt Trophy, and they're taking it to Vegas for Super Bowl 58.
Why, yes, they are. The Kansas City Chiefs going back to the Super Bowl. Been trying to tell people. So, you fair weather pessimistic fans, I want to extend an olive branch to you. Even though you were pessimistic, we heard the doubters, right? Chiefs heard it. I heard it. Dusty heard it.
We can't fix catching the ball. We just drop it all the time. We can't fix it.
This team isn't any good. This team is the worst they've ever had under Mahomes. This offense stinks. Our receivers are horrible. There's no way we can make it a run in the playoffs with these type of receivers. Kelce's washed up. Kelce's going to retire. Mahomes is not playing as well as he should. Andy Reid needs a new play caller. Matt Nagy is the problem. The Chiefs can't win on the road in the playoffs, even though you never had seen it before. So how did you know? We stink. We suck. Our play calling's horrible. We can't beat the Bills. Oh, God, we're scared of the big, bad Bills. Oh, what do you know? You won. Oh, well, we can't possibly beat the Ravens. The Ravens have the number one defense in the world. Yeah, and the Chiefs have the second best. Something that the national people tended to just kind of gloss over. And now all those national people will be jumping on the bandwagon. And you, the pessimistic Chiefs fan, I just want you to know that we're not going to hold anything against you because you doubted the Chiefs, okay? I want you to know that I am at the front. I've been driving this bus for a while now. I've been the one that's been more optimistic than most people out there. Why was I optimistic, Dusty?
Because of Patrick Mahomes.
Because of number 15 and Andy Reid. And I learn from my mistakes. Well, I try to. Sometimes I don't. But listen, a few years ago, the Chiefs defense was horrible after 10 games. And it was the first year under Steve Spagnuolo as defensive coordinator. Chiefs got absolutely annihilated by the Titans in regards to giving up tons of points, tons of yards per play, blah, blah, blah. And the Chiefs didn't lose a game the rest of the year after that, and the Chiefs defense figured it out. I remember we talked about, you know what, the Chiefs defense is still trying to figure some things out. Did we think it was going to be good enough to win the Super Bowl? We weren't sure. We weren't sure. We didn't write them off. Last year, Dusty and I did write off the Chiefs to an extent because we said the special teams is so bad, and it was that way at the end of the year. It's like, well, if it's been this way all year long, they're not going to get it all figured out in the playoffs. It's too late in the year to figure this out. And we were wrong. I was wrong. So then I see the same people saying the same stuff at the same time of the year this year, except I didn't fall for it this time. You know, the Chiefs have dropped a lot of passes, and if they keep dropping them now in Week 16, I mean, we're just not going to figure it out. Think they figured it out? Kelsey's catching everything to him yesterday. MBS is making the game-winning catch. The Chiefs didn't turn the ball. We turned the ball over too much. We are what we are. Chiefs didn't turn the ball over one single time yesterday. We don't create enough turnovers. Three gigantic ones yesterday. Ladies and gentlemen, if you continue to make the same mistakes over and over, it's one thing to make a mistake, okay? Where nobody's perfect, okay? If you make a mistake, you try to learn from it. But if you keep making the same mistake over and over and over, you're one of two things. You're either not very smart or you're a fool. Let that sink in. If you keep making the same mistake over and over, you're either just not very smart or you're a fool. Nothing drives me more insane than people that continue to make the same mistakes over and over. It drives me batty. And I don't have a lot of tolerance for it. I have no problem, whether it's coaching a team or whether it's, you know, working with coworkers, I understand when people make a mistake, it's not like we're going to chastise them. You know, you made a mistake. Hey, I made mistakes. I'm not claiming to be perfect. But if you make the same mistake over and over, for instance, if Dusty keeps putting in the wrong cut over and over for a Chiefs promo and puts the wrong one in 4 days in a row, don't you think I'm going to get a little tired of that?
Yeah.
And if Dusty keeps doing this and all kinds of different things in life, I'll be like, on the job, I'll be like, dude, I don't know if I can keep this guy around. He makes the same damn mistakes over and over, doesn't learn from them, isn't focused enough to learn from them. So us Chiefs fans sit here and we're like, well, we expect the Chiefs, they can't figure this stuff out and blah, blah, blah. Well, you know what? You can't figure it out, Chiefs fan. That's Mr. Negative. You sit here and you yell and scream at the Chiefs for not figuring it out. Well, guess what? You didn't figure it out. Maybe I was a little late to the party for those that were super optimistic last year. The special team's going to figure it out, but I was not going to make the same mistake twice. So when I heard, not trying to throw Dusty under the bus, but Dusty said, listen, it's week 16 before the Bengals game. The Chiefs, after the horrible loss to the Raiders, two turnovers that resulted in two touchdowns in 7 seconds, it was like the Chiefs dropped the ball, they make too many mistakes. Dusty said, and I understand what Dusty said, and I understood where he's coming from. The Chiefs are what they are. They make too many mistakes, they shoot themselves in the foot, blah, blah, blah. And I agreed with Dusty. But I kept saying, but I still think there's plenty of time to figure this out. Last year, I didn't, and I was wrong. But I wasn't going to be wrong again. I had a theory late in the season I threw out there, and I believe it applies. And I think we've seen it proven right now. Travis Kelce is the perfect example. He's the poster child for my theory. And MBS has got to be right there, too. These guys are bored with the regular season. These guys are simply minding their time, minding their business. It's not like they're not trying. They're trying, but they're pacing themselves. They know the bigger picture, and that is we don't have to be the number one seed. We think we haven't before, but we haven't always been the number one seed. Now, have we always been able to have the game at Arrowhead? Yeah. But the Chiefs understood that, you know what, maybe we're not, you know, as good as we've been in the past, but we're still going to get a first-round game at home. We know we have 15, and we can win anywhere on any planet. So you have the utmost confidence you can win anywhere. And that's something I've been preaching all year long. I even said it before the season. I thought the Chiefs were going to have to go to Buffalo. And I said they would beat Buffalo this year in the AFC title game. I was wrong in regards to the AFC title game because that ended up being in Baltimore. But I predicted the Chiefs to win on the road and win the AFC title game on the road. Because why? Because you're not going to go 6 years in a row at home at Arrowhead, are you? Well, I didn't think they'd go five, but they did. But eventually, that streak has to come to an end. Eventually, you have to win on the road in the playoffs. We knew the time was going to happen. At some point in time, it was obvious that Mahomes and the Chiefs were going to have to go on the road and win in the playoffs. And for all those silly people that don't have, well, I don't want to go any further than that. Those people that thought the Chiefs can't win on the road, what hell, what kind of freaking proof did you have they couldn't? You had no proof. Yeah, well, you have no proof they can win on the road. We haven't had a game on the road. There's no sample size here to say that they can or they will. They honestly, none of us technically know. All I know is I knew they were capable of it because they've went into hostile environments and big time games during the regular season and they've done it. I know the postseason is a different animal, but
so
I also
is Patrick Mahomes
exactly, and I also know Patrick Mahomes. When the lights are brighter, he shines best, but he said the same thing about Travis Kelce. Travis Kelce yesterday was super. For all those people writing off Travis Kelce, he had 1,000, he was just shy of 1,000 yards receiving, had nearly 100 catches in a bad year. For him! Mahomes had a down year. He had the most yards of any quarterback, rushing and passing combined, had his best completion percentage of his career, but it was a down year. Kelce and Mahomes are held to a standard. It's a down year when you win the division for the ninth time in a row or whatever it is, and you only win 11 games. It's a down year. And three of those games were caused by drops, and two were caused by one player, Kadarius Toney, who doesn't even play, and they make up excuses so he doesn't have to play anymore, which I love. I'm cool with it.
He literally said that yesterday, too, that he don't have a hip injury.
Yeah. So we don't need Kadarius Toney screwing things up, all right? And the Chiefs have eliminated the problems. They have focused on what we said all along, and that is give the ball to 10, get the ball to 4, which is Pacheco and Rice, get the ball to 87, and let Mahomes cook, and let this defense carry you. And that's exactly what the Chiefs did yesterday. And all the national pundits are now going to start saying, well, the identity of the Chiefs is different. You don't think? It's been that way for frickin' 4 months. Where the hell you been? It was that way week three we talked about on this very show. The Chiefs are different this year. They have metamorphosized themselves into a different identity, just like the Patriots did during their run. Brady didn't throw for 5,000 yards and 50 touchdowns every year. He didn't. He rode the defense, the special teams, the running game. And then there was years where he did carry him, and he played well, and the defense wasn't as good. That's what Mahomes is doing, except it's just in a different pattern. Mahomes yesterday, flat out, was conservative in the second half. The Chiefs knew we just simply can't make a mistake. That's it. The Chiefs simply knew, against the almighty Ravens, who were destroying people all year long, the Chiefs knew 17 points was enough. Think about that for a second. They knew against Lamar Jackson, who was going to be the MVP of the regular season again, they knew if we just get a lead, Lamar can't lead them back. They knew it. The Ravens had never been down by more than 7 points the entire year. They didn't know how to deal with yesterday. And boy, did they flounder during that situation. They had turnovers. They made bad decisions. And something else that Dusty and I predicted on Friday when we talked about this and we both picked the Chiefs to win, one of the biggest things we said right off the bat was one of the biggest things in the game on Sunday in Baltimore is that Lamar Jackson's going to make at least one boneheaded throw and the Chiefs can't drop it. And guess what? They didn't. They caught it in the end zone, and that was the end of the Ravens right then and there. Snead forcing a fumble was a sensational play. This Chiefs team does not, the offense does not have to carry them. The first half, the offense did exactly what they did. Right down the field, two touchdowns. They were front runners yesterday. They knew it was important to be in front of the Ravens. The Ravens, for some reason, quit running the ball, which I don't understand why. They decided, apparently, to showcase Lamar Jackson, prove that he can beat you with his arm. And we said on Friday, here's what you want to do if you're a Chiefs. You don't need to sack Lamar Jackson. You just need to contain him, make him stay in the pocket, and prove he can beat you with his arm. And if he beats you with his arm, you just go, you know what, dude? You have evolved, and you are the man. And you just pat him on the back and say, you did what you're supposed to do. The Chiefs did the exact same thing against Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills the week before. And that was, we're not worried about sacking the quarterback that much. Would it be nice? Sure. We're going to stay in our lanes. We're going to watch the quarterback's eyes, and we're going to be ready for him to try to go right up the middle and run the football. We're watching when he comes to the outside. Was there a couple of times Lamar got away? Yeah, that's just going to happen. But the Chiefs looked about. It was the same thing 2 weeks in a row. It was get your hands up, knock down passes, which they did. Okay, they did get a few sacks. They didn't blitz nearly as much as they usually do against the Bills or the Ravens. They didn't blitz as much, but they did pick their times, and they got there a few
times.
They
still took more chances than I thought they would on some of those blitzes where they were coming from with them.
They
did. You know what I mean?
They did. Omenihu on a four-man front gets a strip sack fumble. Kerloftis late in the game, a four-man front, didn't blitz. He got to the quarterback. I mean, the Chiefs' defense won the game yesterday. It's as simple as that. Mahomes in the offense was fantastic first half, except for that fourth and one, they got stopped, but at least it wasn't a gadget play. They ran the ball. I could live with that. You know, they got stopped on fourth and one. They ran at Pacheco. Kudos to the Ravens. I have no problem with that play call at all. You know what? You didn't get it? Fine. Let's play defense. The offense gave the Chiefs the breathing room they needed in the first half. Butker with a clutch free field goal gave you a 10-point lead. The Chiefs' offense gave the defense the running start. Okay? And really, you think about it, it really started with the defense. A three and out, Chiefs went right down the field and scored. Yeah. So the Chiefs were up 7-0, then 14-7, 17-7. The Ravens were playing from behind the whole game, and they haven't done that all year. They were in a situation they weren't used to, they weren't accustomed to, and the Chiefs' offense went out with surgical precision, right down the field, not once, but two straight times to score touchdowns. And honestly, that was enough. They didn't need to score any more points. Mm-hmm. The field goal was nice to give you a two-possession lead. The defense made huge plays. I see Raven fans, well, if they don't punch the ball out at the one and we don't throw an interception, well, hell yeah. No kidding. That's called football. You know, you don't think the Chiefs would have opened up the offense a little bit more if the game was 17-14? Of course they would have. Stop it. Mahomes, how great is he? They had all these three and outs and didn't score in the second half. Because he didn't have to do anything. Lamar Jackson, the anointed one that's on the level of Mahomes, scored 10 points yesterday. Turnovers are part of the game, and they were all forced. Well, except Lamar's pass, but the other two were forced. Yeah. They were forced turnovers. You stand above a guy that's a Pro Bowler, as a rookie, and you taunt him, and you shove him to the ground, and that guy gets the last laugh. Guess what, rookie? Welcome to the National Frickin' Football League. Okay? Now, sucks for him. He's going to feel horrible the whole offseason, as Josh Reynolds of the Detroit Lions should feel after he had a couple of huge drops yesterday. But when the lights are the brightest, when the season is on the line, when you're in the playoffs, under Patrick Mahomes, the Kansas City Chiefs are 14-3 in the playoffs. Their three losses, overtime to the Bengals, overtime to the Patriots, AFC title games, and a 31-9 loss to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers without a starting right tackle or left tackle. Not make excuses, just stating a fact there. They lost that game. They deserve to lose that game. Tampa Bay played better than them that day. It was in their home field, home stadium. That helped a little bit. At the same time, Chiefs flat out lost that game. That's the only game that they've been blown out in. The only game. They could listen, they're a D Ford's offsides penalty away, okay? A D Ford's offsides penalty away, and a Tyreek Hill getting in the end zone before halftime against the Bengals, or Andy Sedlin for a field goal, of being in the Super Bowl six straight years. Now, granted, I don't know what happens if you go three or four in a row. Do you have the motivation to get back there? I don't know. But what the Chiefs are doing right now is extraordinary. And it is comical to me, all those people last year, the Chiefs can't win the Super Bowl without Tyreek Hill. What are we going to do without Tyreek Hill? And I kept trying to tell people they're going to be fine. And they were. Okay? Because I said they're better. They're a more complete team last year. And they were. This year, dear Lord, we have no receivers. They drop all the passes. There's no way we can do anything in the playoffs. I'm like, all they got to do is start catching them. And you know Mahomes is going to play well in the playoffs. You know Andy Reid's going to open up the playbook. You know Andy saves stuff. And now, on top of that, we have something we've never had during this run. People can sit here and say, the Chiefs aren't as good offensively. This is the worst offense they've had during this whole run. You know what? You're probably right. Probably right. But they have the best defense during this run. So that compensates, doesn't it? Does it maybe cancel out that? This Chiefs team is the most complete team they have had. There is no Tyreek Hill. There is no Juju Smith-Schuster. But there's L'Jarius Sneed and Trent McDuffie. There's Nick Bolton. There's Drew Tranquil. Drew Tranquil saved their bacon, boys.
Oh, yeah.
Listen, if they don't Drew Tranquil, I don't think this team is where they are today. Because Nick Bolton missed multiple games. Tranquil stepped in. He's like a starting linebacker in this league. It's an abundance of depth. Brett Veach does not get enough credit for what he's done for this team and this organization. He rarely misses a draft pick. Oh, dear Lord, you missed Sky Moore. Well, we don't know that for sure. And even if he did, who cares? He's human. Drew Tranquil, yesterday Willie Gay couldn't play. Drew Tranquil was terrific again. Where is this team without Drew Tranquil? I mean, he stepped in when Bolton was hurt. Now Gay's hurt. Huge. And you know what? I flash back to the days where Ben Neiman had to play linebacker. God help us. And Daniel Sorensen had to move from safety to linebacker. And the Chiefs got run all over. You don't think this Chiefs team is better defensively than ever been before? All I got to do is Drew Tranquil versus Ben Neiman or Daniel Sorensen. Hello. There you go. And I got Steve Spagnuolo instead of Bob Sutton as my defensive coordinator. The Chiefs are, this is their most complete team. They're solid special teams, in my opinion. Offensively, I believe they were going to come around and figure some things out. They are. They've decided, you know, by it's almost like addition by subtraction. Sky Moore's out. Fine. Kadarius Toney's not going to go. Great. And we squeeze, and now we squeeze, and we go to the guys that are our players, and an occasional pass to MVS, who's come up with spades. He's been terrific in the last two playoff games. He's been terrific in the playoffs his two-year career in Kansas City. He's made every catch he's needed to make in the playoffs. He hasn't done it regular season much, but you know what? When it's big time, he's come through. You got to give him credit for that. The Chiefs, this is their most complete team. And just because they're most complete team, it doesn't make it sexy enough for some people. It doesn't have to be sexy. The Chiefs don't have to. This is not a beauty pageant. It's football. The Chiefs don't need to win 37-34 yesterday. They won 17-10. There is nothing wrong with that. It's a different brand of football, okay? Alex Smith would love to have had this defense at some point in time during his career, because I think he would probably at least get to an AFC title game. I don't know if they'd win it. But that's what we said all along, right? Alex Smith needs a dominant defense, and the Chiefs are going to go to the Super Bowl. Never had a dominant defense. The Chiefs had dominant defenses back in the day with Schottenheimer, right? But they didn't have, they had Elvis Gerback, and they had Steve Bono, and they had Lynn Elliott could make a field goal. Okay, they didn't have the complete team. They had a great defense, a great coach. They had a pounding running attack, but they didn't have a great passing attack, or special teams was atrocious, or the kicker missed kicks, or whatever. They started the wrong quarterback. The Chiefs always found ways to lose in the playoffs. And then number 15 arrived in town, who they traded up to get, and all he's done is win 14 of his 17 playoff games. Two of those losses are in overtime. And this team, whether it's Tyreek Hill on the team or not, whether Tyreek Hill is in Miami or not, whether Juju Smith-Schuster is with the Chiefs or with New England, it doesn't matter. The Chiefs have this thing called championship DNA, okay? And they're one win away from putting an ironclad stamp on Dynasty. And some people think it already is a dynasty, and maybe it is. For me, this absolutely cements it. And it cements the legacy of everybody. I think there's, I mean, Kelce and Jones and Mahomes and Reed, I don't think they need anything more for their legacies. But for a Chiefs organization as a whole, this is a chance to be right there with the Patriots. If the Chiefs win the Super Bowl against the Niners in this rematch in 2 weeks, the Chiefs will have the best five-year period in NFL football history exactly almost exactly identical to the Patriots' five-year run. The only difference, the Chiefs have a few more wins during the regular season. I mean, it's identical. So, Seren Petro said this last year on our show. He says, you know, what's great about Mahomes and having a franchise quarterback is you always have a chance no matter who you have on your team. You always have a chance as long as you can get in the dance. He said, you know, the year the Chiefs lost to the Buccaneers, that's one the Chiefs should have won, right? If they'd been healthy. They should have won that year. They only had one loss during the regular season with their starters. Mm-hmm. That's it. They rolled through every. I mean, they had a great year. They were a really good team. And that was the one they should have had. They didn't get it. Last year, people said that the Eagles are going to win and the Bengals are going to win. And I picked the Bengals against the Chiefs in the AFC title game last year. See, I'm learning my mistake. and the Chiefs won one that maybe they shouldn't have last year. This is the ultimate winning one when they shouldn't have, right?
Yeah.
You're going up against the best team in the NFC all year long. You went up against the hottest team in the AFC, the Bills, won on the road. You went up against the best team all year long in all of football. I don't think there's any question about it, the Baltimore Ravens. And you beat them and punked them in their own house. And you're out physical, to be honest with you, I thought. Uh-huh. I mean, this is one the Chiefs aren't supposed to get. And you know what Brady did with New England? He got some he wasn't supposed to get. He had a few upsets. Oh, yeah. Of course, they got one, his last one in New England, they shouldn't have had, but they got. In order to get to the seven that Brady has, if that's Mahomes' goal, or to win as many as you can, you have to win the Super Bowl in some years where you're not expected to, or maybe you're not as great as everybody thinks you are, but you're good enough to get into the dance, and now you get hot. That's exactly what the Chiefs have done. And I have been more optimistic than most people because of, I know the Chiefs have 15, but the other thing that people kept overlooking over and over and over, and I think it is so silly that people kept overlooking this. And I've said it multiple times. They're never going to get blown out. They never get blown out when they had horrible defenses. But they'll never get blown out with a great defense. So if you never get blown out, you're always in the game.
Yeah, absolutely.
And with this defense, I've been saying all the Chiefs need are 24 points. If this offense can't get you 23, 24 points, then that's on the offense. This defense held the Bills to 7 in the second half last week. They held the Ravens to 10 the whole freaking game and forced 3 turnovers. The offense, oh my God, the offense didn't do its job second half. They only scored 17 points. No, they did their job because they didn't turn the ball over. It's called complimentary football. Complimentary football. If you have a great defense, you don't have to push the ball down the field as much. You don't have to take chances on third and long as much. You can check it down. You can play it a little bit safer because you don't have to outscore people. You know, hey guys, if we, how did the Chiefs lose to the Raiders? That was the last Chiefs loss, by the way, right? That was the, Brett Veach said after the game yesterday, he goes, that was the wake-up call for this team. They lost to the Raiders. It was embarrassing. Why did they lose to the Raiders that day? They had two turnovers in 7 seconds, it Dusty. Two turnovers in 7 seconds. The Chiefs lost that game. I forgot what the final score was, but I believe the Raiders only scored 20 points. But the Chiefs defense allowed 6 points. That's it, that game. The Chiefs defense allowed just 6 points. But the Chiefs offense scored 14 for the Raiders.
Yeah, it was two turnovers, 4 scores.
That's what I'm saying, in seven seconds.
Yeah.
The fumble, that was a gadget play, and then the pick six. Within 7 seconds, the Chiefs offense gave up 14 points. That the Chiefs defense in 59 minutes and 53 seconds gave up 6. And I think the Chiefs learned right after that, you know what? We don't have to be as cute as we think we need to be. Maybe it was a wake-up call for Andy Reid as well. The Chiefs understand, at least they've understood here late in the season, and I think a lot of us understood earlier in the year, that this is a different type of football that Chiefs fans aren't accustomed to. But you know what it is, the same type of football? It's winning football. It's winning football. Winning football. The Chiefs simply win. They win. Their best players come through in the biggest moments, the last few years in particular, and the Chiefs are going back to the Super Bowl for the fourth time in 5 years. It is remarkable. And so for all you Chiefs fans that wrote off this team, all these negative comments, and talking about how you wanted Andy Reid to be fired or resign, or Matt Nagy's horrific, bring back Bieniemy, or that these receivers are so bad, we can't win with them, you are all wrong. But once again, as an olive branch of my gratitude that the fact that you jumped off the wagon, I will let you back on. I won't even charge a fee. Okay? I will let you come back on this wagon. I will sit at the front of the wagon. I will steer it down the road. Okay? I'll take the reins of the horses if it's the horses of wagon. If I got something pulling the wagon, whatever. I will handle all of this, folks. You just kick back and bitch and moan. The only catch is you go to the back of the freaking wagon. But you can sit on it. I'll let you be on board the Chiefs bandwagon. You can enjoy all the victorious celebrations. I've got a wagon that is made of unbreakable steel. It will hold anybody that wants to jump on. Come aboard the Chiefs Express. But sit in the back. Listen, the Chiefs, I'm going back to their schedule. I'm going to pull up that Raider game. The Chiefs lost to the Raiders 20-14. The Chiefs defense gave up just 6 points and lost because the offense gave that game away. And I think after that game, what did the Chiefs offense, what have they done since that Raider game, which they gave away? They did. They literally gave that game away. The very next week, the Chiefs wasn't super pretty in regards to they didn't get touchdowns, but they had 6 field goals and a touchdown. Did they have a whole bunch of turnovers in that game?
No. Nope.
They go to the Chargers. Who cares about that one? Because that was with backups. Okay, the playoffs, the Dolphins. Did they turn the ball over? I don't believe they did. If they did, it was only one time. Yeah. Mahomes hasn't thrown any picks in the postseason. The Dolphins, they hold them to 7, and they kick 4 field goals. But guess what? They went right down the field and scored, right? Most of the time, they went down and scored. They also let their defense have a chance to breathe and have a rest. And could put together some extended drives. At Buffalo, the Chiefs did not turn the ball over.
They absolutely did turn the ball over. Well, I didn't turn it over, but they gave a touchdown away at the end zone.
One play, yes.
Wasn't a turnover. Well, right. It technically was a turnover, I guess.
I guess it was.
Into the end zone, touchback to the Bills.
But that was at the one. That was, you know, they were ahead. They were up. Yeah. That was the kill shot they were going for.
Yeah, exactly.
But yes, they did have a turnover. I'm not saying they're perfect, but they haven't had a game where they've had 3 turnovers like the Ravens did yesterday. They haven't had a game where they had 10 penalties. They haven't had these dumb plays lining up offsides, okay? And the second half, except for the Hardman fumble, I mean, they were pretty good all the way around. And the defense stepped up and slowed down the run finally. And then yesterday, the defense was outstanding. And this defense is good enough to win a Super Bowl. And you take I've said this for ever since Mahomes became the quarterback of the Chiefs after his first year. I said, can you imagine what this team would be like if they had a really good defense? And I remember we talked about it, Dusty. It doesn't have to be top 10. Just give me a top 15 defense. Because the defense was so bad. We were just sitting here going, give me a top 15 defense. This team will win a Super Bowl. Guess what? Spags comes in, top 15 defense. They won a Super Bowl. And then you're sitting here going, wow, what happens if you ever had a top 10 defense like Brady had a lot of times? Oh, well, here we are. Here we are. Well, we can't win. We don't score enough points. We don't have to score as many points, people. Please stop and understand what you're watching. Your defense is legitimate. Your defense has been good all year long. I mean, there hasn't been a game where the defense has just fallen on its face. I kind of figured it might happen once. It hasn't. They've had some halves where they've struggled, and they make tremendous adjustments. And Steve Spagnuolo, dear Lord, put that man in the Hall of Fame. 3 Super Bowl rings as a defensive coordinator. And the national talking heads are talking all about the Ravens' defense. The Chiefs are number 2 in the NFL in defense, 2nd in the league in sacks, and they've got the defensive coordinator with 3 Super Bowl rings on his hand. And they want to talk about the Ravens with the defensive coordinator that's never won a ring. And guess what? They can enjoy looking at their hands without a ring, but can brag about being a number 1 defense in the regular season because they are sitting at home or going to Cancun to join the Cowboys and the Eagles and the Bills. So it was pretty impressive. We'll talk more about it. We'll hear from the folks that participated here, Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes, among a few. Real quickly, we'll get into local sports with Dusty.
Yes, there was some wrestling over the weekend. Friday, I recapped on Saturday, so you can find all the results for Friday's wrestling at ncksports.com. Saturday, the Red Cloud Invitational for Osborne, and they came away with 5 first-place medals combined between the boys and girls. On the boys' side, Caden Schultz at 157, Sam Kendig at 175, Grant Middleton at 215 finished first place. Grant did finish first place on Friday as well at Hoisington, so he's had a great weekend for the Osborne Lakeside wrestlers. Kane Fry finished 3rd at 138 for Osborne there in Red Cloud on Saturday. And then it's girls' side Saturday. Kate Kendig, 110 pounds, finished first place. And at 135, Cheyenne Noel was first place for Osborne. So great weekend for them. Larned girls' tournament on Saturday individually. Zeta Purvis of Beloit finished in 2nd place. And Beloit had a couple wrestlers that went to the Rocky Welton Invitational in Garden City. Both got 9th place finishes. Brogan Monty went 4-2 on the weekend at 113 pounds. And Brody Boudreau went 5-2 at 215 pounds. So they obviously got into some good competition with higher class schools. Brogan took a couple more losses on his record, and Brody did too, but that's a great tournament for them to go to and get experience. And they both got 9th place there and came away with 4 and 5 wins. So you can find their full results as well at ncksports.com for high school wrestling, high school hoop schedule there as well. And we'll talk with the wrestling coaches coming up in our locker room chats tomorrow. Those, by the way, will be on Z96.3 a little after 5 o'clock because we're starting basketball a little early tomorrow on Katy Country 94.
Coming up in 30 seconds, more on the Chiefs plus KU and K-State. Tough road losses against ranked teams. K-State women survive a scare. All that and more coming up in 30.
Extended warranties on vehicles have become a very popular thing. You may have bought one, but what do you do to take advantage of the benefits when you need them? Kiefer Brothers Automotive in Beloit works with most all warranty contracts, and we can be your advocate when you need repairs. Just bring us your car, your concerns, and a copy of the warranty contract, and we take care of the rest. Let our fast, friendly service help you get the most out of your extended warranty contract. Find Kiever Brothers Automotive just south of the courthouse in Beloit or on the web at KieverBrothers.com.
I thought our guys played hard, aggressive football. It always starts with the offensive and defensive line. They came out, you know, with a purpose here and played their hearts out. Pat Mahomes did a great job, as he normally does, but starting the game off with 11 straight completions, that's something special. And then to manage the game, things that get kind of thrown by the side is him taking a sack there at the end. So as opposed to trying to fit the ball in, kept the clock running. Good things happened there at that particular time. So, and then our defense was outstanding and did it with great personality there, as they've done throughout the season. But my hat goes out to Spags. That's a tough thing. He played a lot of football games, and you've got to work through that. You know, you got to work through that mentally. That's not an easy thing. And so I'm so happy for the guys and how they handled that. You know, and when it came time to put the hammer down, they put the hammer down, which was important. And the best part is we're not done. You know, we've got another game. And you love these seasons to carry on as long as they can possibly carry on. And we're there. And that's and now we've got to get right back at it and start grinding for whoever wins this game here.
Andy Reid on the win and then talking about the grind of this entire season. We've definitely seen the grind on Kelce, among others. And then Kelce has come up big and did yesterday. 11 catches, 116 yards, and a touchdown. Welcome back to the Sports Ticket, brought to you by Kiever Brothers Automotive in Beloit, your home for fast, friendly auto repair. Patrick Mahomes on another Super Bowl appearance.
You don't take it for granted either. You never know how many you're going to get to, if you're going to get to any. And so it truly is special. Just to do it with these guys after what we've been through all season long, guys coming together, it really is special. But I told them, I mean, the job's not done. I mean, our job now is to prepare ourselves to play a good football team in the Super Bowl and try to get that ring.
If you're listening closely to Andy Reid's comments a moment ago, he talked about how he was proud of Mahomes for taking a sack. You don't hear that very often, but it was because he didn't make an ill-advised pass trying to do too much. I think a few years ago, Mahomes probably would have. That's the evolution and maturity of Patrick Mahomes and understanding the team he has and the defense that he has on his side. Here's Mahomes on riding the defense for wins.
It's special because that's a great team and a great quarterback. And Spags, it seems like when the games get bigger, when the challenges get higher, he performs even better. The guys execute the game plan well. They got timely turnovers that played down at the goal line, punching the ball out. I think it was Snead and recovering it. That was a timely turnover, obviously. And whenever they're rolling like that, I have to kind of manage my game. That stuff that I've learned throughout the season is, even if we're not having the success that I want to have, the defense is rolling and getting stopped. So let's just take the safe choice, get the ball out of my hand, don't turn the ball over, and let's go win a football game.
Chiefs did not score a point in the second half. They had multiple three and outs, but they did not turn the ball over. The Ravens only scored 3 points in the second half. The Chiefs stuck to their identity. Mahomes, 30 of 39, 241 yards, took a couple of deep shots, not a lot. The Chiefs won the turnover battle 3-0. You win the turnover battle, I don't care where you play, odds are you're going to win, especially if you're a really good team, as the Chiefs are. But they stuck to their identity. And as I said earlier, the national media is going to start catching on, and now they're starting to jump on things that we said 12 weeks ago. And listen, by the way, you know, the national talking heads and national media, see, the local fans need to understand this. There's the lay football fan and there's the avid football fan. I'm an avid football fan. Dusty's an avid football fan, okay? I'm not saying we're smarter than other people. We're just more knowledgeable.
You know who
we know more.
Who you're looking at,
right?
And who you support.
Right.
You know your team.
Right. And there's the lay Chiefs fan. And so when I mean the lay Chiefs fan, it's the average Chiefs fan. And I don't mean that in any disrespect, because some people have jobs, right? People have work to do. They don't have all day to do what you and I do, Dusty,
or
whatever. And it's just part of our job. It's part of the fun of our job. And so there are those Chiefs fans that are Chiefs fans, but they're not diehard Chiefs fans. Or maybe they even kind of start watching more later in the year and they get to the playoffs and then they get excited and so forth and so on. And their source for information tends to be, oh, I saw this clip from some national guy saying that the Chiefs, oh, they have a new identity. Oh, the Chiefs, their defense is really good this year. Yeah, it's January, and we knew this back in September.
Yeah.
So they use the national media as their main source of information when they have tons of local media that could have that told you this all year long had you been an avid fan. So then you go to the water cooler, man, this defense, that may be the best defense in the National Football League. We talked about the possibility of it in week one. I mean, they held the Lions, an outstanding team that made the NFC title game, to 21 points without Chris Jones. So we already kind of saw some of this right off the bat. The young guys in their second year, so forth and so on. The national media has to worry about everybody across the country. So they're not watching every single play of the Chiefs games like Dusty and I are. Okay? So what is annoying to me is when the national talking heads that, you know, scream and yell, when they act like they know everything. That's the part that drives me nuts. They sit here and they start saying these things, and it's funny because to me it's comical, but the sad thing is a whole bunch of people out there eat it up because they're not as knowledgeable as Dusty or I about it or other people of all the Chiefs. So they're the ones that these talking heads are catering to. They're not catering to Dusty or me because we know more than they do about the Chiefs. That's a fact. Okay, that's an absolute positive fact. We know more about the Chiefs than... I won't name the names to give them any kind of credit, but people know who we're talking about, okay? And people in Kansas City that cover this team on a regular basis, anybody that follows a team on a regular basis, you don't have to be a sports talk show. You can be an avid Chiefs fan. You know a hell of a lot more than these people who get paid millions of dollars to spew out junk. You know, the Chiefs, there's no way the Chiefs can win without a number one wide receiver. Wrong. There's no way the Chiefs can win without Tyreek Hill. Wrong. The Chiefs defense is going to get run all over by the Ravens. Wrong. The Ravens are more physical. They're going to punch the Chiefs in the mouth. Wrong. It's great to watch them be wrong almost all the time. Because we as real avid Chiefs fans, we know what our team is. We know all of this before they jump on that wagon. What's disappointing to me is the Chiefs fans, for some reason, that don't have any faith, even though the Chiefs have proven for 5 years in a row. What evidence more do you need to not... Why do you have to be pessimistic? I don't understand. Like, I get it if the Chiefs have been coming off of all the horrible playoff results, right? Which I understood it. The first year Mahomes in the playoffs. Oh my God, we get the Colts. We never beat the Colts. We're going to lose to the Colts again. Yeah, but this is different. We have Patrick Mahomes. Okay? We lost 30. We had a 38-10 lead in the playoffs. We lost to the Colts. And Lynn Elliott missed field goals. And then we did. There's no punt game. We can't beat the Colts. I understand it at the time. Because the sample size you had, what did you have? You had evidence proving that the Chiefs choked.
A lot of bad losses against the Colts.
Listen, I remember when the Chiefs are down 24-0 to the Houston Texans and Deshaun Watson. And I had people blowing up my phone and said, well, here we go. Same old Chiefs. Doesn't matter who the quarterback is. Choke, 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 choke. That game turned around the narrative. When they, just like that, they were ahead at halftime. And that win, think about that game for a moment. If the Chiefs end up losing that game, down 24-0 like most teams would, then we were still be saying that the year after that. Well, you know, they choke. I don't care. Mahomes is great and all, but he's no better than Alex Smith because, well, you know, we choke, blah, blah, blah. We lost to the Texans at home. But no, they had leadership on the sideline. I remember Mahomes going to everybody saying, hey, we got this, we got this, we got this. And they went out and just flat out, they scored 51 points for crying out loud in the last 3.5 quarters.
Yeah.
And they won. And next thing you know, boom, 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 boom. Okay, they get all these playoff wins over the next 5 or 6 years. But after 5 years of having a sample that we have seen from the Kansas City Chiefs, why in the world do you turn negative acting like this is the Dallas Cowboys? The Cowboys are the old Chiefs, and the Chiefs are what the Cowboys were in their prime in the 90s, except I think the Chiefs are even better for a longer period of time.
It evolved to something different
right.
than even what that was, right?
So why do some Chiefs fans treat the Chiefs like the old Chiefs or the Cowboys who can't make it to a conference title game and lose at home in the playoffs and be the higher seed and be a favorite and so forth and so on? Why are some Chiefs that way? We have 5 straight AFC championship game appearances, 3 Super Bowl appearances, and 2 Super Bowl wins. Mahomes has only lost 3 playoff games his whole career. And prior to the playoffs this year, he was 12-3 or 11-3. Well, this year's different, Wade. I agree. The defense is way better. See, this is the difference between people. And I'm guilty of this in life as well. But there's 2 ways of looking at life. There's 2 ways of looking at a situation. There's the negative way, and there's the positive way. The positive way is the optimistic way. The negative way is the pessimistic way. There's two ways of looking at things. And trust me, I have plenty of things in my life I'm too pessimistic about. And there's times where I'm very optimistic and it pays off. Okay? But I looked at the Chiefs all year long as the defense is outstanding. If they keep playing this way, I think the offense will come around. I believe that they were going to catch some passes that they were dropping. I never got all worried about the tackles, as some people worried about. I felt Jawan Taylor got picked on at times. I thought Jawan Taylor, I mean, his protection's been pretty good this year. The penalties, of course, people point to. It's funny, everybody points to Jawan Taylor and they put him down with all the penalties he has. Legarius Sneed leads the NFL in penalties for a DB, and everybody's talking about how he's a Pro Bowler and he can't, and why is he not on the Pro Bowl? Jawan Taylor's been solid. I'm not saying he's great, I'm saying he's been solid. He's been better than people think. Donovan Smith's done, he's been fine. He hasn't had as many holding calls as you might have expected. Wanya Morris did a good job when he stepped in when Donovan Smith was out. Drew Tranquil stepped in. This team has a lot of depth. We might not have as many superstars as we once had. We may not have a Tyreek Hill. But we have more dudes on defense, and that's thanks to trading Tyreek Hill. That's a big part of this whole equation, folks. I get tired of talking about Tyreek Hill because he hadn't played on the team for 2 years. But Tyreek Hill is a big piece of what the Chiefs did this year and last year because of the fact they traded him. They didn't lock up $30 million in a number one wideout and a whole bunch of money in a tight end, a whole bunch of money in a quarterback. They didn't overload with all the money on the offense. They instead spread it around, got draft picks, got rookie deals for a lot of Josh Williams played well yesterday. Jalen Watson's played well when he's had to step up last year and this year. Okay, you got McDuffie on a rookie deal. Sneed is still on his first year deal, but he's going to get paid this offseason one way or the other from the Chiefs or somewhere else. You go get a Drew Tranquil. You have the flexibility to go get that guy. You can get Charles Omenihu, and you got depth at defensive end with Felix or K-State, who doesn't play much now. But it's too early to say he's a bust because they got enough in front of him. You don't have to play him. You can bring him along, much like you brought Mahomes along to sit on the bench for 1 year because you had a good quarterback in Alex Smith. The Chiefs built this team. They really basically restructured their team. Because plan A was to keep Tyreek Hill on this team. Plan A was to keep him.
Sure.
Plan B or C was to trade him. But they had a plan A, B, and C. And they went out, and Brett Veach, for the love of God, give that man the GM of the Year award. That man, he totally looked at it and said, you know what? We can get some serviceable veteran wide receivers at cheaper rates. And then we can load up in the draft with these picks from Tyreek Hill that we can load up in the draft and get young. We can use some of it to move up to get Trent McDuffie, a corner we think is going to be a Pro Bowler, which he's playing like it. And we got the money and flexibility to get Jawan Taylor at right tackle with Andrew Wiley leaving. We can go on a cheap one-year deal with Donovan Smith, so you save some money there, right? And we can go ahead and bring in Joe Tooney, and we can a few years ago. We can obviously get Drew Tranquil. We can make it work. We got depth at linebacker. And so the Chiefs, and guess where else did they save a lot of money? Running back is a seventh-round draft pick.
Yeah.
Clyde Edwards-Helaire is on his first deal yet. So at running back, the Chiefs are hardly spending any money there. Kelsey's underpaid, so they get away with that. Their left tackle is one of the lowest paid left tackles in the league. They get away with that. Their wide receivers, Scantling makes about $11 million a year, but that's pretty cheap for wide receivers, even though he hasn't performed very well except in the playoffs. Last year, they went out and got a Juju Smith-Schuster who got 800. People act like Juju had 1,500 yards receiving last year. He had 800 yards receiving, okay?
He caught the ball when it was thrown to him.
Yes, but he wasn't a down the deep
That's
deep
why
threat.
They're like that, I think.
Sure. He was a security blanket, you know,
yeah,
and he
absolutely.
Did a nice job.
Yeah.
He did a nice job, okay? He didn't do anything with the Patriots this year. Had knee injuries. The Chiefs knew. All these people freaking out going, why didn't the Chiefs give Juju 3 years, $32 million? The Patriots did. Because the Chiefs knew his knees were a problem. See, once again, us Chiefs fans that don't not work in the building, we're sitting here going, give Juju the money. Juju was really good last year. We need him back. At least bring Juju back, and then we maybe can draft a wide receiver, or we can go get DeAndre Hopkins, put him with Juju. Wow, that'd be great. And you're like, yeah, but how much money do you have? We want to get Drew Tranquil. How about Tranquil instead of DeAndre Hopkins? Okay, I'd say that worked out pretty well for the Chiefs, wouldn't you? So, and they got Donovan Smith and Drew Tranquil for the price of possibly DeAndre Hopkins. That worked out all right.
Yeah.
You filled a couple of needs. So it's always it's a puzzle. You're putting together a puzzle as a GM. And when they traded Tyreek Hill, That was the start of the new process. That was the beginning of the metamorphosis of this team and its identity. Okay? We saw the defense improve last year. Was it as good as it is this year? No. But now you got those young guys in the system for a second year. Spags has been able to have input the longer he's been there on, here's the guy that's perfect for my system. Oh, you think McDuffie's perfect for your system? Brett Veach says, let me go ahead, make a trade, and beat the Bills to the punch again, because the Bills wanted McDuffie. Trade up, get Mark. We're going to get Trent McDuffie for you. Then we're going to go get a pass rusher who's got a lot of potential from the Big Ten. And I have to admit, I wasn't high on this pick, George Kolaftis. But we got a great coach in Spags, and they brought in Joe Colan to be the defensive line coach. By the way, he doesn't get enough credit. And they and Mike Dan is a fourth-round pick. We got these guys that can – we bring in O'Minihue. We got money there we've saved over the last couple years. We got some flexibility. We're going to load up on the defense. We're going to go with some cheap rookie deals, but we're also going to trade up to get a guy we want. We're going to go ahead and not pay Chris Jones a ton of money until we're ready to pay him a ton of money. And they have not, you know, succumbed to that after his last deal. So they're not giving him $30 million a year. They play a little hardball there. I'd say that's worked out, right? And we went young with Willie Gay as a younger linebacker. Nick Bolton, some people said, was an undersized linebacker. He's been outstanding. And the Chiefs have rarely missed on any of their draft picks. If they've moved up in the draft, they've absolutely hit a home run. They did with Mahomes. They did with McDuffie. Legarius needs a fourth-round pick. People passed on him left and right. That's worked out pretty good. The Chiefs had flexibility with their draft picks and the cap when they traded Tyreek Hill. And that is when I think Brett Veach said, this is just me speculating, I believe Brett Veach is telling himself, listen, there's nobody else out there like Tyreek Hill. We're not going to replace Tyreek Hill. There's not a single guy that we can go get for half the price to replace Tyreek Hill. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to go get MVS. We're going to go get a guy like Juju Smith-Schuster. We're going to sign a guy like Justin Watson, has a little bit of upside. All right, we're going to put these guys together. We think the quarterback's going to make them better, okay? And they were high on Sky Moore. They thought he'd help too. And but did they tie up their a whole bunch of long-term deals with these guys? No. Did they give away tons of money and overpay for these guys? No. They put together guys that fit their system. And then by all that money they saved with Tyreek Hill, Brett Veach is sitting here going, listen, I'm not going to replace him with one guy. I'm going to replace him with some serviceable guys. Are we going to have that home run threat with Tyreek Hill? No. And that means that I need to That means our team might not be able to rally from deficits like we've done because Mahomes is so great, throwing it deep to Tyreek Hill and across the middle to Kelce. So I've got to do something different. Let's go ahead and let's put together a great defense. That's where we can go with this. So we're going to draft corners. Okay, we're going to make some key free agent acquisitions, mainly on the defensive side of the ball. And he hit a home run when he drafted Isaiah Pacheco in the 7th round, too. That should not be overlooked.
No.
Where is this team without Isaiah Pacheco? I mean, he carried the ball 24 times for only like 68 yards. That's not a great day, but guess what? Andy can rely on him, and they needed those runs yesterday to milk the clock. And so the Chiefs have turned into a sexy, high-flying offense that won a Super Bowl, that almost made it to one in Mahomes' first year. And it was a high-scoring shootout every single week. And then they got the defense. When did they start winning Super Bowls? When their defense got improved with the right coordinator, unlike Bob Sutton. It's Steve Spagnuolo. They bring in a guy that won a Super Bowl. So that was a huge move by Brett Veach and the Kansas City Chiefs, an organization. And yes, it all starts, as Mitch Holthus says, with hiring Andy Reid years ago. But Andy Reid wasn't winning no frickin' Super Bowl or getting to conference title games in Kansas City until they moved up and drafted Patrick Mahomes. Alex Smith never played an AFC title game in Kansas City Chiefs. Look it up. It didn't happen. So Reid was the first step, obviously. The second step was trading up and getting the quarterback. That works. Now you got your franchise coach, your franchise quarterback. But now, how do you build the team around him? So they were loaded on offense. Maybe they caught a break. Everybody passing on Tyreek Hill with his off-the-field issues got him in the 5th round. Some people said they weren't even going to draft him. Tyreek Hill turned out to be, obviously, like a top-5 overall pick if you redrafted today. So that was a home run. Did the Chiefs get a little lucky on that one? Perhaps. But they were smart enough to take a chance, and it worked out. And they didn't cut him when he had his off-the-field issues while he was a Chief, as some Chiefs fans in North Central Kansas were yelling at me saying, we got to cut him.
Yeah.
The Chiefs actually let the legal process finish. What a concept. And thank God they kept him. What if they did cut him? They would have none of the stuff they have today.
Exactly.
They'd have the cap space, but they wouldn't have the draft picks. Once again, made the right decision. They got rid of Kareem Hunt quickly. People like, oh God, we can't win without Kareem Hunt. Damian Williams came up big against, guess who? The Niners in the Super Bowl a few years ago. So the moves the Chiefs have made, for the most part, it's kind of like Dayton Moore and the Kansas City Royals back in 2015. Except Dayton Moore, it was a one-year hit. Whereas the Chiefs are an album of continuous records that go platinum. Veach continues to roll out and make good draft picks, good trades, and he has... The metamorphosis of this team began the day Tyreek Hill was traded. So you have Spags now starting to get comfortable with weapons on defense. He's got bigger corners, not the short corners like Steven Nelson. He's got Legarius Sneed. He's got Josh Williams. He's got Jalen Watson. McDuffie a little bit shorter, but a tremendous athlete. He's got a Brian Cook they drafted. That's a thumper in the back. They let go of Juan Thornhill. They moved on from him. They moved on from Tyrann Mathieu. Chiefs fans wanted Mathieu. Oh, we love Tyrann Mathieu. He's been so great. The Honey Badger. Give him his money. The Chiefs said, no, that's stupid. And I thought it would have been stupid. We said it on our show.
Let's go get the younger version of Tyrann Mathieu.
Right. And think about that for a second. Think about what the Royals and the Chiefs did differently. The Royals went ahead and gave everybody their money and gave Alex Dorton his deal instead of Zobrist, as we talked about at the time in 2016, after they won the World Series. The Chiefs could have easily done that with Tyrann Mathieu. Instead, the Chiefs are like, listen, this guy's on the back end of his career. Let's go get a cheaper, younger Justin Reed that we think is going to fit in well. And I thought it was a great signing at the time.
Yeah.
And he's been a terrific leader on the defense. So they got younger and actually spent a little bit less money than Tyrann got in free agency.
Yeah.
And Reed's a bigger guy. And he's a better, probably maybe a more physical player. So, like, almost everything the Chiefs have done has turned into gold. You understand what I'm trying to say here is that the Chiefs' metamorphosis started with the Hill trade. They then decided, listen, we aren't going to be this high-flying offense anymore because there's no Tyreek Hill out there. And if there is a super unbelievable receiver, we're going to have to pay him $25 to $30 million like Davante Adams and Tyreek Hill got. And that's just not smart right now. Because we know, here's the other factor. We know Mahomes' cap number is going to keep going up and up and up with his big deal. So we can't tie up a ton of money in Chris Jones, Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, and Mahomes. So they spread the wealth. They got all kinds of players in replace of one. They got better as a team, as a sum of the whole parts instead of an individual part. And that's why the Chiefs are where they are today. So we should send a thank you to Tyreek Hill for wanting a little bit too much money, which I don't blame him. And we should send a thank you, by the way, to the Las Vegas Raiders. They overpaid for Davante Adams. That changed the whole negotiation from sources that I know. That the Chiefs and Tyreek Hill were close, 26 to $28 million a year. The Chiefs actually were close to doing this. And Davante Adams got the big deal, free agency to the Raiders, to go up with his good college buddy, Derek Carr. And that lasted all of 1 year, by the way. And
not even the full year.
Not even the full year. And that drove the price up for Tyreek. And I don't blame Tyreek and his agent saying, hey, I think I'm as good as Davante Adams. I want just as much. And the Chiefs said, whoa, we just can't go there. And they said, go ahead and look for a trade. And they let Tyreek Hill pick out a couple teams, the Jets and the Dolphins, and ended up being the Dolphins. And everybody was stunned. And everybody's talking about, oh, my God, the Chiefs' window is closed. I know talk show people in Kansas City that think they know anything about the Chiefs were going crazy. The window was closed. On the very next day that trade happened, I said, this could mean the window is open longer because of this move. And guess what? I've been proven to be correct.
Absolutely.
I'm not always right. I'm wrong many times. But in this case, I was right, because the window, all they've done is make the Super Bowl 2 years in a row without Tyreek Hill. The last year they had Tyreek Hill, they didn't even make the Super Bowl. But thank you, Tyreek Hill, for wanting extra money. Thank you, Raiders, for overpaying for Davante Adams. And oddly enough, the Chiefs are going to play a playoff game in the Raiders' new stadium in Vegas before the Raiders do.
And use their practice
facility. Hot damn, that's awesome. So the metamorphosis of this team was set the day they traded Tyreek Hill. And Chiefs fans didn't understand at the time. They did understand that, well, we're not got that big play guy down the field Mahomes can always throw to. Well, defenses were already adjusting. They were going too high safeties. They were taking away the deep threat. And then Tyreek would have the audacity to say, once he was traded, I didn't get the ball enough. Okay, well, you get the ball even more with Miami. And how many playoff wins do you have to show for that? The answer is zero. This all worked out. It was a blessing in disguise, as I said, the very day that Tyreek Hill was traded. I said, guys, this could be a blessing in disguise as long as Brett Veach makes the right moves. As long as he drafts well, gets some receivers to replace Hill by committee, this team will be fine. And all they did was win the Super Bowl last year, and now this year they're in the Super Bowl. And one of those pickups is MVS. And MBS has not done much during the regular season. But let me tell you something. This man has come up big. A lot of you Chiefs fans owe him an apology. You want him cut as well. By the way, if Chiefs fans were in charge, the Chiefs would have only one player on the team, and it would be Patrick Mahomes. Maybe. I've seen people, Kelce needs to retire. Oh, well, thank God he didn't. Here's Reed on MVS, who had the huge third down and nine, 32-yard catch, falling backwards on his back. He drops that. Ravens are going to get the ball with under 2 minutes to go and go down and could score a touchdown. I don't think they would have, because I think the Chiefs defense is that good.
Yeah.
But he made the play, and Mahomes threw it perfectly. Here's Reed on MVS.
Most all keeping the hope up, right, when things weren't maybe going as well. MVS is a picture of that. So people coming down on him everywhere. He keeps it right there and does a great job with it. I mean, I thought he was just phenomenal. That kid, he's taking a beating here, and he was able to just hang in there and battle.
He did. He hung in there. And here's the other thing about the Chiefs that makes them special, and this is what championship DNA is all about. It's called leadership. You have to have tremendous leadership to be a championship team. You don't win with bad leadership. It doesn't happen.
No.
Okay, the Chiefs have Mahomes. They have Kelce. They have Reed. They have tremendous leadership. Chris Jones is respected as well.
Reed on defense,
Justin
too, like
Reed
you
on
said
defense,
earlier.
Absolutely. You know, I think Nick Bolton's a leader, too. But getting back to the game yesterday, it was clear to me, let's jump out on them. And once it jumped out on them, and Butker coming through with a gigantic, you know, there's another one. He was on a practice squad, and Cairo Santos was the kicker for the Chiefs. He got hurt, and Brett Veach went and got Harrison Butker, then signed him to a deal and cut Cairo Santos after a few weeks later, I believe.
Oh, yeah, because
and
we're like,
what are we doing?
He lost his job because of an injury?
Right.
What are we doing?
And people were like, how do you give this guy a contract? He was on the practice squad with the Panthers, and once again, the Chiefs hit a home run. Apparently, I've been saying this for a while, the Chiefs play chess when everybody else plays checkers. Did it again yesterday. So the Chiefs actually, because their defense is so good, Patrick Mahomes yesterday became a game manager in an AFC title game in the second half. He even admitted it.
Yeah.
And that's okay. See, Alex Smith being a game manager was okay, but when you needed to make plays in crunch time to win a game, he couldn't do it.
That was his full identity.
Right. Whereas Mahomes is, I can make the plays if I need to, and I have pretty much my whole career, and I've done it with horrible defenses at Texas Tech and at the NFL level, but now I don't have to. So I'm okay with being game manager. But guess what? If it gets to be a shootout against the Niners in Super Bowl 58, I think we still have a guy that's capable of slinging it, don't you? Whereas yeah. Alex Smith never was.
No.
So he's still got it in his bag of tricks. It's still right there in his DNA. But to me, the game plan is pretty simple. We got to jump on him. If we jump on him, get the lead, it puts the pressure on the Ravens. I said this is why I like the Chiefs to win the last two games. The Bills are like, this might be our best last chance, and we got them at home. The Ravens, dear Lord, this is our year. We've destroyed some of the best teams in the league. This is the year. Lamar's going to be the MVP. We finally got him offensive weapons with Zay Flowers and OBJ, and we've got a good running game. We've got the number one defense. I mean, we got it all. We got the best kicker in the game in Justin Tucker, possibly. We've got all this going. But the Ravens also knew they were the favorite. Going in, they had the pressure being the favorite. They knew, just like the Bills, you better get the Chiefs now, because what happens if the Chiefs actually do get a number one wide receiver this offseason? Oh, oh boy. And so they felt all the pressure. And another blessing in disguise for the Kansas City Chiefs. I told a few of friends yesterday, and I said it last few weeks. I said, everybody is always so caught up in Chiefs Kingdom about being the number one seed. Everybody's so caught up in being home field advantage. And I've said this the last couple years. I think home field advantage is severely overrated, in football in particular. The biggest thing about the one seed is not the home field. It's about getting a week off, so you basically get a free playoff win without playing. That's the big advantage. But other than that, you can win on the road. And teams all year long play three games in a row. It's not like these teams can't do it, okay? And the Chiefs, by the way, did have an off week against the Chargers for some of their key players. So, in essence, they had their bye, and then, because they were locked in the three seed, they had their bye and were fresher, ready to go for the Dolphins. It's just that they had to play one extra playoff game. And how big of an advantage was it for the Ravens? They scored 10 points yesterday and lost at home. How big of an advantage was it? It wasn't. But I still think the Chiefs, the blessing in disguise to me is they had a chip on their shoulder because people and the naysayers and doubters, even within Chiefs Kingdom, were saying it. National talking heads were saying it. The Chiefs are not usually in the role of underdog. They're not usually the role of the villain going on the road. They're the happy favorite at Arrowhead. And I've been saying for a long time, I think Mahomes can win anywhere, anytime, and I am not scared of going on the road. They go to Buffalo, they win. They go to Baltimore, they win. And they relish in it. You can see it. Like, you could, it was, to me, it was very predictable to go into Buffalo and win, because the greats love it when people doubt them. The greats are even better when there's a chip on their shoulder, even if it's made up, like Jordan did many times. The great Kobe did it too. The greats are better when there's a chip on their shoulder. The greats are even better when people doubt them. And you know Mahomes used that as fuel. We've seen it in his whole career. So I knew that we were going to get the best out of Mahomes in Buffalo. I knew the Chiefs were going to play well in Buffalo, and I thought they were going to win. I thought they were going to win yesterday. I wasn't as confident, but I still thought they were going to win in Baltimore. Because the blessing in disguise is this team had a lot to prove. If this team was the favorite going in, I think there's a chance they don't get this far. I truly do. I think if the Chiefs were the number one seed, or they were the two seed and got home field in the AFC title game, I'm not positive the Chiefs would be in the Super Bowl. It's easy to say they would now because you went to Buffalo and went to Baltimore. But the matchups might have been different with the seeds, obviously. And who knows what might have happened. Maybe the Chiefs would have struggled with the Texans coming to Arrowhead. I don't know. It's all hypothetical. But what I do know is the Chiefs played in five AFC title games, and they were fortunate to win three of the five. Last year, they could have easily lost it.
Yeah.
They could have been 2-3. And we talked about how big that was before that game. You can't go 2-3 in five straight AFC title games at home, and luckily they were 3-2. So now they go on the road, and it's kind of like, I think the Chiefs, and they're going to be the underdog again.
Yeah.
They're a 3-point dog in the Super Bowl, and I love it. I actually was sitting there watching the NFC title game yesterday, Dusty, going, cheering for the Lions, and then the Lions looked so good for a while, I suddenly go, you know, maybe I do want the Niners to come back and win, because the Chiefs will be the underdog to the Niners, but they'll be the favorite against the Lions. Yeah. And all of a sudden, the Niners come back and win. I'm like, oh, I'll go back. I wish the Lions won, you know?
Second half Lions, I want to see them in the Super Bowl.
Right. And so I'm like, oh, no, the Niners have a chance of redemption. They have a rematch in the Super Bowl, and more on the rematch history coming up in a moment. But I'm sitting there, and I'm going, you know, I'm somewhat glad the Niners won, even though I was cheering for the Lions, because the Chiefs will be underdogs again. Now, I think more people are going to pick them because of what they've done the last 2 weeks, but they're still going to be the dogs, and the Chiefs are relishing in that role. And when the favorites are the, not the favorites, but when the greats are underdogs, the Warriors have been not the one seed in the NBA, the Cavs before, the Heat before, the Rockets before. We've seen the Packers as a 6 seed were underdogs. That's the only time they went to the Super Bowl with Aaron Rodgers. We saw the big Ben Roethlisberger and the Steelers as a 6 seed and won it. The Patriots were underdogs coming to Arrowhead in the first year Mahomes was quarterback. Chiefs had home field. Patriots relished in it. Won, didn't they?
Yeah.
Knocked off the Chiefs at Arrowhead. The Bengals relished in the underdog role, playing with house money, winning into Kansas City, beat the Chiefs. The underdog role, I think, is underappreciated. And I think it allows you to play a little bit looser. It makes you play a little bit more determined, because you want to be on camera after the game and say, I told you, jabronis! I told you, fools! And that's exactly what the Chiefs have done the last 2 weeks. And now I definitely think they can do it again. Why would I pick against them now? I picked them before the year to win the Super Bowl. I was sticking with them even when they were struggling during the regular season. It did help to be in the AFC West, which wasn't nearly that good, and the Chargers fell off a cliff. You know, if the Chiefs were AFC East, might have been a little bit different. Might have been a little bit different in that situation. Been a wild card, wouldn't have won your division. So that helps them a little bit, no doubt. But for all of you that doubted the Chiefs, you didn't learn from all the successes leading up to this point. And that means, to me, that is foolish.
Yeah, here's the thing with me, and it's been this way the last 2 years, right, with the Chiefs, because there have been issues in week 15, 16, 17, 18, right? When I talk about those things, those things stick in my mind, because that's what that team is at the moment, right?
And so, but...
I'll also go into the postseason never just sitting here saying the Chiefs don't have a chance. They can't win with this group.
Right.
Like, do I pick them to win every game? Maybe not, right? I didn't pick them to beat the Bills.
Right.
But I also said they can come down to the end of the game, and I had a gut feeling the Bills would finish the deal on that one, right? Like, Ravens, you deduce some of the things that are going on here and understand that the Ravens have absolutely all the pressure on him, right? Yeah. Because they were, like you said, the best team in the league.
Lamar and Lamar has a
ton
of pressure.
Lamar's not done this yet, and that's right. why we felt that way, right? And that's one of the big reasons I picked the Chiefs is because, yeah, Lamar's done this now, but has he done it? You know what I mean? Like, he did it against the Texans, but has he done it against the heavyweight champion of the world, basically? And that's what you've got to do. And so, you know, those issues were there, and it's valid to point them out, and it's valid to say that there's problems with it. But if you're one of the people that just sit here and say you're going to go to the postseason and have no chance because of those issues, then I'm going to get on you because you don't know history, right? Like, I don't sit here and say they're going to lose because they have issues. What I say is I think they're going to lose this game because this matchup fits better for this or that. And so you don't sit here and doubt and not have confidence in a team that's made it now to six straight AFC championships and four Super Bowls in the last 5 years. Like, when you get to this point, you know it's different. And I think one of the biggest things about all that is you're talking about leadership, and that's absolutely at the top of the list of why you have success at this time of year is because you have leaders that are going to do that for mm-hmm. you, and they're going to put you in position to win games. But also, and this was not the case last year because they didn't have other options, but with special teams, it was Tony and it was Sky Moore, and it had to be Sky Moore in the AFC Championship
because of injuries,
right?
Yeah.
But it's like, okay, we have issues here. We're going to make sure we're going to get selective during the postseason. And so Sky Moore maybe could be on the team right now. Sounds like Kadarius Tony could be playing right mm-hmm. now. But you don't let him play. You go with guys that you trust.
Yes.
MVS has done this in the postseason.
Yes, he has.
And MVS, I will say this. I didn't watch his whole career with the Packers. More of the things that I worry about with MVS are not even the drops. They're not on the same page when he's running a route on a deep ball.
Right.
So now MVS has stepped up, but otherwise, what are the targets? It's Travis Kelce, Rashee Rice, Justin Watson. The most confidence is in all three of those guys to actually catch the ball. Early, Rice dropped some balls, but he was a rookie learning the game, and he's not been doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And he has been a steady force for this team and a reliable source to get the ball to. You eliminate the problems by eliminating the problems, not even letting put him in that position. Mecole Hardman, you know, had an issue last week.
Did he touch the ball at all yesterday?
I don't believe so.
Yeah, he was just a decoy.
They tried to pass to Richie James. He dropped one.
Yeah.
But that was a rocket shot. That was a tough catch to make. But,
right.
You know, that was the only drop I can think of. But it's like you eliminate that problem by just doing that. And then you eliminate the problem by going and creating turnovers on defense, which was the problem for the defense, right? It was like you're really good, but you're still negative 11 in turnover margin this year. So it's going out and making the plays. And they did that. That's something that got fixed, obviously, is they actually went out there and forced turnovers.
Well, I think it's a really good point that you bring up about trust, because to me this is no different than what Bill Self or any basketball coach does at the pro, college, or high school level. And I've seen it many times over the years. I know you have too.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and this is the difference between the regular season and the postseason. You have a regular rotation of players during the regular season, or you're trying to find some things out about certain players that could maybe be in rotation, whether it's football or basketball. And this is what drives Chiefs fans nuts, and they don't understand the totality of what Andy Reid is doing. And even sometimes you and I don't understand it either. And that is, why do you keep putting Tony out there? He's making these mistakes. Why do you keep putting Sky Moore out there? He makes these mistakes. The Chiefs are trying to find out if these guys are going to be people we can trust in the playoffs. And they obviously prove that they can't. Okay? MVS proved that he is based on what he did last year. One thing that is underrated about MVS, a lot of people overlook because everybody gets caught up in stats. They always worry about who has the football in their hands. MVS is a very good blocker. I've watched him many times. Mm-hmm. He's been a good lead blocker on screens or runs wide side, or he'll block after Kelce gets a catch and gets extra yardage after the catch because MVS is still blocking. MVS is a good effort player, okay? And so the Chiefs trust him, even though he had a few drops. They trust him because he at least has a track record of being trusted, okay? But when you get to a basketball sub-state or state, or you get to a NCAA tournament like Bill Self, you may have certain guys getting 10, 12 minutes off the bench. Now suddenly it goes down to 6 or 8. Or it goes to you don't play at all. And why is that? Because you're going to go with the guys you trust the most. You're going to go with the combination that is your best. And that's, if you really want to win, then you're going to go with that best combination. If you need to win a game in the regular season to get where you need to be in the postseason, then you're going to ride those guys you trust. And suddenly, that guy off the bench that was getting 15 minutes a game, or that wide receiver that was in lots of different sets, suddenly we're not calling plays with him in those sets. Or he's simply a decoy. And that's what the Chiefs did. Kadarius Toney, hey, listen, that was still a good trade. He got a punt return that set up a touchdown last year at a touchdown catch Super Bowl. That's great and all. I don't think he's part of the future. I think it's kind of obvious, and that's fine. The Chiefs gave a third-round pick, got a guy that made two big plays, helping win a ring. Perfect. Works for me. But they gave him chances. He didn't come through. And the last straw was the play against New England when they had just talked in the huddle about, let's be focused, let's make a mistake. That's why Mahomes was so pissed off on the sideline. They had just gone through everything. You could see him mouthing like, we just can't turn the ball over. And then it hits the guy in the hands and Toney turns without holding the ball and it goes in the air and is intercepted. And that was it. That was the final straw. Mahomes was done with any trust with Kadarius Toney. You know, Sky Moore conveniently got hurt. Whether he's really hurt or not, I don't know. And so he's not a part of the factor. And then Hardman last week had his issues with two fumbles. And yesterday he was on the field, but they sure as heck didn't give him the ball.
Yeah.
Because they learned that I don't really trust him right now. Even though Kelsey says, hey, man, I got this guy, and I missed a block, and he should have scored, and I'm the reason that he fumbled. That's leadership, whether Kelsey believes it or not.
Yeah, exactly.
That's just leadership, covering for a guy that made a mistake. And that's a sign of a championship DNA team. So trust is important. I mean, it's no different. Like, I was coaching basketball tournament yesterday, and we've told our kids, listen, there's not going to be an equal playing time. When you're in Parks and Rec, you try to get equal playing time, this and that. I said, you know what, with our basketball team, we go to a few tournaments. I said, listen, I'm going to get everybody on the floor at some point. That's my goal, okay? Yeah. I'm going to try to get everybody out there at least at some point in every game. It might be that you're in for one half and you're not in at all in the second half. Or it might be that I know this kid is not going to do well against full court pressure, and I'm not going to put him in a situation to fail. It's just, it's not good for him personally, and it's not good for the team. And so if we're really trying to win, say, a first game to get to the second round of a tournament so that we can, you know, do this or do that, or if it's a really close game, you know, the competitive side of people, I'm not worried about winning every game as a youth basketball coach, for instance, but I do want to definitely win the first game, because then you're in the semifinals. Now you have a chance to win a tournament. If we get third or fourth place, not the end of the world. My goal in any tournament is to go 2-1. If you go 2-1, that's a good tournament. And so ideally, as a coach, you want one game that's just flat out easy. Everybody plays, everybody's happy and sings kumbaya. Second game's pretty decent, good challenge. Third game might be the ultimate test, okay? And so when it gets to crunch time, or you're trying to win a game, you got to go with the people you trust. That happened to me yesterday. Yesterday, I'm coaching. It's no different fourth grade or high school or college or pro to an extent. It's about trust. And if I trust certain people to handle the pressure of the game, then I'm going to go with those kids. Yesterday, I had a game where I put my own kid on the bench because he wasn't playing as well. And another kid came in, did a great job. I rode those five kids on the floor for a while. And I told the kids in the timeout, I said, listen, we never guaranteed equal playing time. I told them, I haven't forgotten about you. Okay, you're still a part of this team. And be ready to play at a moment's notice. But right now, these five guys have earned the right to go out and win this game. That's what I told my huddle.
Yeah.
And I was just up front. Like, these five guys have my trust right now. Now, the next game, two of them may lose that
trust. Absolutely, yeah.
But in that moment, in a close game, those five guys, in my humble opinion, gave us the best chance to finish that game. And so I rode those five. And I think that isn't much different than what Andy Reid is doing, or what Bill Self or Jerome Tang or Bill Snyder in the day at Kansas State. We want to make a big play in a football game at K-State. We're trying to win a Big 12 title. Guess who the ball went? It was L. Roberson giving it to Darren Sproles. Somehow you got the ball to Darren Sproles, and they beat Oklahoma 35-7, right?
Yeah.
They weren't worried about giving everybody a catch. It was like, dude, we're going to go with our best players. You're exactly right. You hit the nail on the head. The Chiefs, as they've gotten into the playoffs, they have eliminated or deleted some of the problems. And they have condensed their offense to, these guys are the guys we're either going to succeed or fail with, but at least we know these guys have a proven track record. We know Kelsey's dropped some passes this year, but he's one of the greatest tight ends of all time. We have no worries. We know MVS has dropped a few passes, but he's been crunched in the playoffs, and so he at least has some history with us. Rashee Rice, we don't know playoff-wise, but we know that guy, Mahomes, trust right now. Pacheco, that's the guy we're going to ride, and we're not going to trust Clyde nearly as much as we're going to trust Pacheco. We're giving him the ball. And so you and you trust Mahomes to take a sack instead of throwing the ball away to stop the clock. It's about trust. I'm so glad you brought that up. And so for me, it goes back to what I said at the top of the show. I trust in Brett Veach. I trust in Andy Reid. I trust in Patrick Mahomes. I trust in Travis Kelce.
Absolutely.
So if I have all these guys that have done so much over the last 5 years, and Andy Reid's done it way more than 5 years, I have trust in these guys. Then why am I doubting them? That's the thing. Like, all these Chiefs fans that, like, did they not earn your trust? Did they not? Like, Andy Reid says, we're going to fix this, we're going to fix that. You know what? I'd say 8 or 9 out of 10 times, they do. They did it with the defense.
Sometimes
they fixed
it takes
it
longer, but right. They get it fixed.
their defense was bad. They had a bad defensive coordinator, in my opinion. You know how I ranted that day. So,
you trust in Steve Spagnuolo now, too.
Right, absolutely. In fact, they have a shirt that showed that. So they went out and they got a defensive coordinator who they thought they could trust who had a track record. And he did what they had to do. They went out and they got Andy Reid, who had a track record from the very beginning as a head coach. And so you go with the circle of trust. These are the guys that you are going to battle with. They have a track record. All those guys I just mentioned have a track record of success. So why would you doubt them so heavily? What, because they lost 6 games and still won their division and still got a first-round playoff game at home? You don't trust them because they got to play on the road? You do know the football fields are still 100 yards long, right? You do understand that. Do people understand that? That we still play with the same football, both teams, and the same conditions, no matter where the game is? You know, we still got to play. It's still on a football field. You still tackle. You still pass. You still throw. You still hand the ball off. I mean, people act like you're going to a different planet playing a different game, a set of rules, when you go to Baltimore or Buffalo. No, it's still football. And the Chiefs proved that. And one of my biggest concerns was, would they have enough gas in the tank yesterday was my biggest concern. And so in the fourth quarter, the defense, I thought, was getting a little bit tired. They've been out there a lot in the second half. And what did the Chiefs do? They got a couple of key first downs. In particular, they went ahead and took the final 2.5 minutes off the clock thanks to the MBS catch on a 3rd and 9. They didn't play super conservative. Hand it off, right? They could have done that.
Oh, yeah.
They easily could have done that. With that defense they got, who would blame them? But you know what that's about? Trust.
Yeah.
That's Andy Reid trusting Patrick Mahomes to make the right play. Trusting Mahomes, trusting MBS to make the catch. That last play is all about trust.
Yeah.
If you have no trust, Andy Reid hands the ball off to Pacheco. And then you're trusting your defense and not trusting your other guys.
Yeah.
And listen, there'd be a lot of people probably saying before, when Mahomes went back to throw, I'll bet you there's some Chiefs fans going, why didn't we just run the ball and punt it?
Because they do trust the defense.
Right. And you should. So you could really argue, even though it worked out, you could argue with Andy Reid that you should have punted the ball, like Andy has done in the past years. Go ahead and punt the ball and let your defense finish it. But that's tremendous trust to put in a quarterback and an offense that had done nothing the whole second half. So on 3rd and 9, allow Mahomes getting cover 0 to throw it deep and get the home run to end the game. That is all about the circle of trust. Reid trusting Mahomes, Nagy trusting Mahomes, Mahomes trusting MVS, and MVS trusting Mahomes going to throw it to him and run the right route. That's trusting the offensive line to pick it up just enough on a cover 0 blitz. That is all about trust. And yet, there's Chiefs fans that don't understand trust. Why don't you trust Andy Reid? Why don't you trust Patrick Mahomes? Why don't you trust Travis Kelce? Because they've not really, really very rarely have they ever let you down, and nobody's perfect.
Nobody's perfect at all. It is interesting to kind of look at this team and see how that has evolved into trust, right?
Yeah.
And even when Mahomes is hurt, right, you're relying on your backup that's been here in Chad Henne, right? Like, you trust him to make the play against the Browns, right, where they win the game on fourth down, and Mahomes
is out there,
so you trust him against Jacksonville, exactly. You trust, you know, all these guys that have been in your system and understand what they're doing, and you can put that out there, and when you put trust in them, they're going to want to do more for you.
Yes.
And so if you have that and can understand that part of it, you're going to excel because you don't want to lose that trust.
Right.
And so, like you said, in your situation with basketball, the 2 games later from that one, maybe you're not going to trust the same people.
And that actually happened. Yeah. I had a different lineup.
And there's times with the Chiefs, like, I trust this guy right now, but something happens, and then it's like, don't make that a habit, and then it becomes a habit, and then you lose trust in that guy.
And so it all comes down to who you know is going to go do it for you and be consistent in doing it for you.
Think about, you know, special teams last year. The Chiefs had all kinds of fumbles on returns, and everybody's freaked out when Sky Moore went back. And then the Chiefs didn't have him back there, but then had to have him back in the AFC title game and had a big return because the other guys were hurt. Okay, so when you think about this year, it was the second game of the year. Richie James drops a punt inside the 10, fumble against Jacksonville, and everybody's having flashbacks to, oh, my God, you know, James is just like everybody else. They can't field a punt. Is anybody worried about Richie James catching punts anymore? Because I'm not. I mean, he had one early in the year, then he missed a few weeks, and I still say the sun was in his eyes on that one. Richie James in his career has proven he's a very sure-handed wide receiver, first of all, but he's also a sure-handed punt returner. And nobody's talking about, you know, early in the year it was like, oh my God, after Richie had one bad play, which, once again, everybody has a bad play. You know, Sky Moore had multiple plays. I understood that last year, not trusting him.
Yeah.
But the Chiefs trust Richie James as a punt returner, and that's important because last year we had big concerns in that area. So our biggest concern now as Chiefs fans is dropping passes and untimely penalties, I guess. And that stuff has kind of gone away for the most part. There were the two holds right before halftime. One negated a touchdown. One I thought was a BS call. I still think the officials do some calls to make sure the game stays tight. I truly believe that. You know, people saying Chiefs get all the calls. I saw this watching it live. Chris Jones was coming up the middle, was going to get a safety, it looked like. And the running back, and that's how Jones got hurt, kicked him in the knee, a leg whip. It was a trip by Justice Hill. And the official didn't call it. Should have been a safety for the Chiefs because that would have been a penalty in the end zone. And they didn't call it. It would have been 19-7 Chiefs, and they would have been on a free kick with 10:21 to go. So I think the officials sometimes turn a blind eye to make sure the game stays close. I think sometimes, you know, you get that holding penalty that you can call on any play, and you throw the flag knowing that there is one no matter what, because you can say you're covered, and now you just got to come up with the name, and hopefully you saw a slight turn. Oh, that's a holding penalty. Officiating, by the way, to me, didn't have anything to do with the game yesterday in determining the outcome.
No.
But for people to talk about the Chiefs get all the calls, there's a couple that I just referred to that
that's
didn't
pretty obvious that's not the case this year.
Well, not for a lot of people, but a lot of people just
actually do watch the game and understand it.
Well, there people just have their agenda and they're going to stick to it no matter what. So the Chiefs are going to play the Detroit Lions. Lions blew the lead? They're up 24-7 at halftime. What happened?
Here's Purdy with a lot of time. Steps into one. Launching deep. Going for Brandon Ayuk. It is. Oh, he caught it off the ricochet. Penalty. Is he in? He's down to the five.
Lions were in complete control, up 24-7 at halftime. And Dan Campbell's getting ripped today by a lot of people. And I'm going to defend Dan Campbell to a point. Okay? And it's always easy after the fact, although I will say a lot of people were saying this when it was happening, so I give them credibility. I understand it. And I do get it. I was questioning it a little bit myself. But people that were really questioning it don't really understand, and I learned a little bit myself today about what happened yesterday. So the Lions were up 24-7 halftime. Niners go down and get a field goal, make it 24-10. Lions had a 4th-and-3. And they were at the Niner 28, 4th-and-3 at the Niner 28. It's a 45-yard field goal. A lot of people say you kick the field goal, you go up 27-10. I always love when people say these things, assuming that a kicker's never going to miss. Michael Badgley this year from 45 to 49 yards was 59%. That's not good.
A little over once every two times he goes out there.
Right. So I'll give you the numbers here to back up Dan Campbell and what he did. So they went for it, and it was a good pass, and Reynolds dropped the ball. But it's Dan Campbell's fault because the guy dropped the ball. It's the right call. Listen, if he catches the ball and they go score a touchdown, it was completely the right decision. So he can't catch the ball, right? So it was dropped. So the Niners get the ball. Then they get the fluky, completely lucky catch you just heard off a defensive back's face mask, bounced up in the air, and Ayuk catches it for a 51-yard gain. Now momentum's starting to swing. Niners score. Everybody wants to talk about Josh Reynolds dropped, or, well, some people do. A lot of people want to talk about Ayuk's ricochet. The biggest play, in my opinion, in that game had nothing to do with a fourth down call by Dan Campbell. It was Jamar Gibbs fumbling on the very next play when they're up 24-17. All the momentum is against you. And then you just add to it. So Lions fumble the ball. Niners have the short field. They tie the game. Another play that is forgotten in this game. It's 24-24, third down and 10. Lions are driving. Passes right in the hands of Josh Reynolds. He catches it with his stomach, which is not the way to catch a ball. Goff puts it right there. Crossing pattern, third and 10. He's got 15 yards. Maybe he could run even further. Drops it. They have to punt. Niners go down and get a field goal. So now the Niners are up 27-24. The Lions have a fourth down and 3 at the Niner 30. So now you're looking at a 48-yard field goal. He passed on a 45-yarder, so now he's passing on a 48-yarder, which is less likely to be made, although kickers should be able to make them. But once again, their kicker, Michael Badgley, was only hitting 59% of his kicks from that range. He goes for it. It's incomplete. Niners go down, get a touchdown, go up 10, 27 unanswered points. And people say, you had to take the 3 because now you're down 10. You should have been down 7, a chance to tie the game at the end, which would have been amazing had they gone down and scored. Would he have gone for 2 and won it, 35-34? We didn't get that. So a lot of people are second-guessing Dan Campbell today. And by the way, Brock Purdy won the game more with his legs than he did his arm. I mean, 51 yards on scrambles, 257 yards. McCaffrey had a couple touchdowns. So there are various people, some people that I respect in the media, that have said various things about the aggressiveness by the Detroit Lions. And once again, I go back to a lot of people that don't watch. Lions fans know better than anybody else that this is part of the reason why they got to where they got, because of that aggressiveness. And a lot of people in the media don't fully get that because they don't watch every single game, just like they don't get that the Chiefs' identity is defense instead of offense, and has been really the whole year. But Dan Campbell, let's go ahead and play the clip here. Dan Campbell, about his fourth down decisions, and eventually the decisions or the fourth down plays didn't work out. They weren't executed. Here's what Dan Campbell had to say about his fourth down decisions yesterday in a 34-31 loss, a heartbreaking loss for Detroit Lions fans, who were so tantalizing or close to their first Super Bowl appearance.
Yeah, I just felt really good about us converting and getting our momentum and not letting them play long ball. You know, they were bleeding the clock out. That's what they do. And I wanted to get the upper hand back, you know, and it's easy hindsight, and I get it, you know. I get that. But I don't regret those decisions, and that's hard. You know, it's hard because, you know, we didn't come through. It wasn't able to work out, but I don't. And I understand the scrutiny I'll get. That's part of the gig, man. But, you know, we just didn't work out.
The Lions won 14 games this year. They were the NFL's most, they won 12 in the regular season, 2 in the playoffs. They were the NFL's most aggressive fourth down team throughout the entire year. They went for it 34% of the time on fourth down all year. So one out of every three, they went for it on fourth down. We saw it week one against the Chiefs. Mm-hmm. 51% of the time when they were in the opponent's territory, they would go for it. On fourth and 3 or less in the opposition's territory, they were 18 of 21. That's pretty damn good.
Yeah.
18 of 21 completions. They converted 15 out of 21 fourth downs, which is still 75%. Pretty good. Think about this for a second. People say analytics, and Campbell said it wasn't analytics, it's about the feel, but he knows the numbers. Would you rather have a 75%? Would you go with, let's ask somebody this point blank. Ask all these media people that are criticizing Dan Campbell today. Go up to them and ask them, which set of lottery numbers would you pick? Would you pick the set of lottery numbers that have a 59% chance of being successful? Or would you pick the lottery numbers that have a 75% chance of being successful? You know what they would pick?
75.
That's what Dan Campbell did yesterday. Dan Campbell's teams were converting 75% of fourth and threes or less in opponent's territory. And that includes 2 for 2 in the playoffs. The 59% number comes from his kicker, was 59% from 45 to 49 yards. So people assume that Badgley's going to make both of those field goals. We don't know if he's going to make both. Jake Moody in the same game missed a 48-yarder. We saw a Green Bay's kicker miss a 41-yarder on that same field last week against the Niners. Niners shouldn't even been in this game, by the way. They should have lost to the Packers, but that opened the door. So Dan Campbell actually played the percentages, and they're significant. 75% to 59%. That's a pretty big difference. And one of the two fourth downs that he failed on yesterday was because the guy dropped the damn ball.
Yeah.
You're not counting on that. Unless it's Kadarius Toney, then you expect it. So I understand why Dan Campbell doesn't regret it. I've seen Doug Gottlieb, Jonathan Coachman, some other people, like, you know, this was going to come and get him. You knew it was going to come back and bite him. He's got to go by feel of the game. Well, were you there to see Badgley kick in pregame warmups? Maybe he wasn't making the 48-yarders with consistency. I mean, he trusts 11 men on the field more than he trusted one guy kicking. Raise your hand if you're a fan of a college or NFL team that trusted the kicker and it blew up in your face.
Everybody should have their hand up.
They should.
If they watched their team's games.
And what happens when the kicker misses the kick? You know what people say?
Should have gone for it.
Well, yeah, of course you say it after the fact because he missed it. But he made it. Well, you know. Yesterday, the Chiefs went for it 4th-and-1 at the 13. They didn't get it. Does anybody rip an Andy Reid after the game for that? He gave up 3 points.
No.
That would have given him a 2-score lead. People are sitting there going, 24-10, you got to kick the 45-yarder. You'd be up 3 possessions. Andy Reid gave up a full possession by going for it on 4th-and-1. Nobody's ripping him today. The Ravens, didn't they get stopped on a 4th-and-2 or something yesterday? Maybe
there was. I think they did stop one of the fourth downs.
You know, anybody ripping that one? So it's convenient. It's always convenient. And I like Dan Campbell sticking by his guns. I mean, the numbers actually back him up. And you could say, well, you got to play the feel of the game. Well, the feel of the game was that the Lions were going up and down the field with 300 yards of offense first half. And so I understand the first one going for it because they were moving the ball down the field.
Yeah.
Now, the second one, they started to not run the ball as well. But it's still, we're talking a 48-yard field goal. Now, if he's passing up a 38-yard field goal, then odds are that might be more of a mistake. People are forgetting these were long field goals his kicker was going to have to kick. So Super Bowl 58 is going to be the Chiefs. I wanted the Lions. The Chiefs and the Niners, Sunday, February 11th in Vegas at 5:30. Dusty, this will be the 8th time that we will have a rematch between two NFL organizations in the Super Bowl. It's the 8th time. Okay? In the previous 7 times, how many times do you think the winner of the first one won the rematch? There's been 7 times this has happened.
In my brain, I'm thinking about a lot of these rematches. I'm going to say 7.
7-0?
Yeah.
No, 5-2.
5, okay.
5-2.
I was thinking about, you know, Cowboys, Bills, Steelers, right. Cowboys. And
There's only been one time it's truly been back-to-back years a rematch, uh-huh. And that was Bills, Cowboys. Yeah. Cowboys won both. The Steelers and Cowboys, they played twice in 4 years. Steelers won both. Now, technically, the Cowboys won the third time, but that was 17 years later.
Yeah,
so
I
really
forgot
don't
about
count
that Cowboys Super Bowl 30.
Yeah, but you're talking about the same type of teams in 4 year span. The Steelers won the rematch.
Yeah, exactly.
The Bengals and Niners within, what was it, about 5 years or 4 years, whatever, they played twice in the Super Bowl, and the Niners won both.
Yeah.
Giants-Patriots, Giants won both. Rams-Patriots, Patriots won both. The exceptions to the rule, the Eagles-Patriots, but there's a little bit more time in between the two.
Yeah.
The Eagles won the rematch against Patriots with Nick Foles. Dolphins and the Redskins, you got to go back a little ways. There was a lot of a gap between these two, so I don't know if I truly count that one. So really, the way I look at it is, if you're talking about actually within a 4 or 5 year period, the Bengals Niners, I believe, fits that criteria. The Bills Cowboys do. The Giants Patriots, I think, are close. Those are the only, and the Steelers Cowboys. Those are the only 4 that fit that 4 or 5 year window. And the team that won it the first time won every time.
Yeah, and that's why in my brain I went with 7 because it's like if you're thinking about, you know, Steelers, Cowboys, and Super Bowl 30 compared to Super Bowl whatever teens it was.
Right.
Those are the ones that slipped my mind, right? Because I forgot the Cowboys played the Steelers again way down the road.
Way down the road.
From their matchups in the 70s.
Absolutely. I was looking up the Rams-Patriots, how many years that was between. There was a ways.
It had to be. I mean, the first one was in 2002.
So,
it was 15, 16 years.
And the Eagles-Patriots, that was a long between. Because Andy, that was back with the Eagles.
Yeah.
And then the Eagles won with Doug Peterson's coach. So there was a big stretch there. I'd be able to figure this out really easy if I understood Roman numerals. But I'm not good with that. So, yeah, Chiefs-Niners Super Bowl. Niners are a favorite, and that's great news for Chiefs fans. Go ahead. Keep doubting us. We love it. We love it. And once again, all you Chiefs fans or not Chiefs fans jumping on the wagon, jump on board. Axel will not break. I will help steer the and lead the way down the road. Andy and Patrick and Kelsey will be the main ones, but I'll be right there in first class. You could sit all the way back near the bathroom where all kinds of noise takes place, even maybe a bad odor. But you're welcome to be on the wagon. I just want you to know that. You just won't be in first class. Basketball over the weekend, KU and K-State, tough go.
Free throw misses, rebound McKellar, 5 seconds to go. Mere formality here. Marco Jackson to Kevin, a three to beat the buzzer is good. That'll help his stat line, but a day to forget overall as the Cyclones hang on to win it 79-75.
KU was down 10. They battled back. They cut it to 2, but three-pointers just killed KU. Iowa State's not a great three-point shooting team. They had 14 in this game. Hunter Dickinson, 20 points, 15 rebounds. Kevin McCullough, 16. Johnny Furphy, 15. Iowa State, 5-2 in conference play. KU drops to 4-3. Bill Self on Iowa State's three-pointers.
We decided to put Hunter on King and dare him shoot, you know, and he made 4. Other than that, it wasn't scout report. You know, we switched a lot. We should have been able to get the shooters better. But, I mean, give them credit. I mean, they a lot of it was, could we have done better? Yes. A lot of it was, they made shots they hadn't been making.
So KU loses. They've been struggling on the road a little bit. Almost every road game, though, in this league is tough. And the Big 12 race is wide open. You're starting to believe 12-6 is what it's going to take to win this league. K-State got a slow start. Number 4, Houston. This is why you don't listen to us about wagering. Dusty and I both said after the show that we would have taken K-State to cover 14 points. They did not cover. They lost by 22. They're down 20 at halftime. Cam Carter led away with 16. Jerome Tang on the Cougar defense.
They may be the best defensive team I've ever seen. And it was just hard to find shots. They do a great job. They're connected on that end. And then they got a core of dudes that understand the culture of what this program's about. And they can, like, foster that to the younger guys and bring it every day. They set the standard for what it's supposed to look like on the defensive end.
So K-State loses. They're now 4-3 in the Big 12. Houston's 5-2. And TCU won in triple overtime at Baylor. Baylor's 3-3 in the conference, could easily be 6-0. They've lost three really super tight games. Texas Tech atop the Big 12 as they win at number 11, Oklahoma, 85-84. Number 21, BYU beat Texas by 12. Oklahoma State picked up their first conference win, being West Virginia, 70-66 in Stillwater. Cincinnati beat Central Florida, 68-57. What did I say after West Virginia beat Kansas?
They're going to come back down to earth.
And that was their Super Bowl?
Yeah, exactly.
They've lost two games to two teams that aren't considered that great, at Central Florida, although they beat KU, at Oklahoma State. Yesterday, Wichita State picked up their first conference win. They beat SMU 77-72. They're 9-11 overall, 1-6 in AAC. K-State women, number 4 in the country, beat BYU 67-65. Wasn't easy. Serena Sundell made 2 free throws with 37 seconds left to put them up for good. Gisela Sanchez led away with 18, Sundell with 14. K-State women are 20-1, 9-0 in the Big 12. KU women out of battle with Oklahoma and Norman, but Oklahoma Sooners win 60-55. KU women 10-10, 3-6 in the Big 12. OU now 7-1, and they're the ones that are chasing K-State there in the Big 12 standings. And, Dusty, the Australian Open is in the books.
Yeah, I watched none of it.
I saw a couple of points.
I did. Well, I guess technically I did see a little bit of Coco Gauff's like quarterfinal match. Rena Sabalenka, second year in a row, won the women's championship. And I wish I would have got up and watched the men's match because it was a 5-setter. But Jannik Sinner came back down 2 sets and beat Daniil Medvedev.
Yeah.
First Grand Slam for Sinner.
Alcaraz. Yeah, him and Djokovic both got knocked out.
Yeah, and I think they said first time since 2014, somebody that was not in the Big 3 that won the Australian Open.
That's a decade.
Yeah.
That's insane. That's how good those guys at the top have been for a long period of time. Much like the Chiefs atop the AFC now, as they are going to the Super Bowl for the 4th time in the last 5 years, 4th time in 6 years in Mahomes' era, and, of course, 6 straight AFC title games. And by the way, Patrick Mahomes has the best road winning percentage of any quarterback in NFL history in the playoffs. 2-0.
State, regional, and national sports talk on your schedule. The Sports Ticket Podcast. Subscribe via Apple, Google, and TuneIn Podcasts or SunflowerStateRadio.com.